הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome again to the Judge Eve Show. And as you heard the music, or at least the attempted music by me, it's a Hebrew song meaning come on, let's be happy and let's sing. And in fact, I'm so glad to have as my guest today, Faye Laveau. She's so gifted. I just found out she also sings. But she's publisher and president of LaunchpadPublishing.com. She has a trademark called Book Inside Head and another company or website called www.successbookcoach.com. And she helps people go beyond the book. And what I love what she does is she helps people not only get the book out of their head, but get it published and then marketed, which she says is very important. Her background is in sales and marketing. But the main reason why she's on today is because she has written a book, and we'll find out when it comes out exactly and where it can be obtained. And it's OMG, which I think means, oh, my God, my parents are getting old. And Faye, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eve. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's a pleasure. And, you know, because of what happened to my parents, whatever you say, I can add what I know from my point of view. And, by the way, is OMG, oh, my God?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And where you live in Fort Lauderdale, I take it, because you've been an award. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yes, I do. I do live in Fort Lauderdale.
Because I was going to say, you've also written for magazines, and you wrote, I don't know what an anthology is exactly, maybe you can tell us, but you are part of a book called Sprout, The Life You Love, and Contagious Optimism series, and you got an award for talking about restaurants in greater Fort Lauderdale area. You know, I was going to say, my dearest, dearest friend, whom I have known since I was 15 years old from Israel, because that's where I was born, lived at the Points of the, I forget, the America Points or Points of the America in Fort Lauderdale. Are you familiar with those buildings? They're right on the water. They, you know, she could see all the cruise ships come by. Are you familiar with that area?
Oh, sure, yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know about your book then. She passed away about 3.5 years ago, so that's it. But where do you come from originally? Were you born in Florida? Are you from another
state? Oh, no. I grew up in Massachusetts, actually.
Oh, okay. You don't have a Massachusetts accent.
No, I don't. I studied foreign languages from the time I was really little. And
oh.
So, I don't know. I never had too much of a Boston accent.
No. What languages did you study?
I studied French and Hebrew, and then later I studied Spanish and Mandarin Chinese.
Me too. I'm fluent in Spanish, of course, in Hebrew. I have to say shalom to those of you who don't know what it means. It means peace and hello and goodbye. And French I took only for half a year, you know, but once you know one of the Romance languages, it's very easy to study the others. And I took Mandarin Chinese for a year and a half. Why did you study it? Yeah.
I studied because I was studying Tai Chi and my class was going to China. So I started studying Chinese right before I went to China, and then I kept on studying after I came back.
So you went to
for a few years.
You went to mainland China?
I did. We went to Beijing.
Oh, wow. You know, again, in Israel, I'm a huge reader, which I feel you are too. But I read everything I could get my hands on, and some of the books were by Pearl Buck. You know, her parents were missionaries to China, and the one main book was The Good Earth. And I was so touched by the fact how they bound the girls' feet, you know, in the upper class so they would waddle correctly. And then I saw, when I found Jesus in my life, you know, which has been another huge problem, I thought I would love to go to China and, you know, work with them. And then somebody told me they have snakes in the rice you know, areas in the rice field. I said, forget it. I'm not going there.
Wow.
But I know that your main interest in being on the show today was the book that caused you to go through a whirlwind with your mother, and that's what caused you to write the book. When you said whirlwind, what did you mean by that? May I ask you, is your mother still alive?
No. She passed away a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And it was after she had passed away that I realized I needed to do something. And this book is the something.
Yes, I know. Because, you know, from if you've seen my website, which will be advertised, you know, www.902andtheholocaust is about my brother and sister killing my parents in Beverly Hills, the name is Sternlight, and stealing their money with the help of lawyers and doctors. They were killed by Michael Jackson, you know, with doctors and medication. And by the way, it's happening on a huge scale. That's what I've come to learn. So
yes.
did your mother live with you in Florida, or was she still in
no.
Massachusetts? Where was she?
She was living in Florida before I was.
Oh, okay. But not with
and then,
you?
No. I did not live with her.
So what happened? How did you find out that she needed help?
Well, I was living in New Hampshire at the time, and I had been talking with her on the phone, and there was a lot of times where she wasn't sure whether it was day or night. If she had taken a nap, she would think it was daytime, and, you know, really it was nighttime and it was dark outside, and then she wouldn't know what day it was or what month it was sometimes. She seemed very confused a lot, but I didn't realize how bad it was until I came down here. I actually moved down here. And
because of her? Did you move down there?
No.
Yeah.
I wanted to get out of the snow and all that, and I have a daughter in Titusville, so I thought it would be good to be a little bit closer and stuff. So I ended up in the Fort Lauderdale area, and my mom was in the Lake Worth area.
How far is that away from Fort Lauderdale?
Oh, she was about just under an hour
from
where I was living.
May I ask you how old she was when you started to hear the confusion?
She was in her early 70s, I think.
Yeah. So, in other words, there's really no age limit, right, where confusion can start or develop?
I think she had some other issues even before that, and I'm not exactly sure the extent of them, but she was diagnosed as diabetic, and my mom didn't take care of herself with regards to how she was eating, given the diabetic diagnosis.
Because she was confused, could that be the reason, that she really didn't know what she should eat to be good for her?
Well, my mom was never really good at that aspect of things. I mean, she just ate what she wanted to eat when she wanted to eat it, you know.
I understand that one.
She went through a period of time where she had been good about it, but that was, you know, many, many, many years prior. So she pretty much, a little bit won't hurt, a little bit, but, you know, a little bit adds up. And my mom's sugar levels were off the chart. On a good day, she was around 250, and on a bad day, she could be over 500. So,
and normal is between 70 to 120, am I correct on
correct.
That? Do you know? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it is. So, and I didn't realize it, but my mom had something called diabetic rage. And so with her sugar levels spiking like they did, she would just get super angry and be really, really difficult. And there would be no rhyme or reason to it necessarily. I mean, it would just be off the charts.
You know, I thought that happened to people who had Alzheimer's. I did not know it happened with diabetes as well. My goodness.
Well, they're finding out that certain dementias are sugar related.
Wow.
So this was definitely the case with her.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, so it was clear that, you know, obviously there was more things going on. And when I saw her house for the first time, she had moved down here and been in a house, and then she moved to a condo that was a similar layout, just a tiny bit smaller.
Yeah.
And her stuff was everywhere. My mom was an interior designer, so her house was all, it always looked really nice. I mean, she had piles, but she hid them very well. And
yes.
in this house, the piles were not hidden. There was stuff everywhere. There was stuff in the kitchen that was in the bathroom. And there was, the porch was, you know, just boxes and stuff everywhere. And, you know, and so, and she obviously had help to move because she could never have done it herself, but whoever helped her to get there didn't help her unpack and organize, and she didn't have the capacity to do that on her own anymore.
So everything was still in the boxes, or like you say, everywhere, is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, she had stuff not in boxes, too, but there was stuff out on the porch that was, you know, still, that was out there in boxes, and there were things in the wrong places, and you know, stuff like
so
that.
Is that when you realized you had to step in, or what happened?
I realized that there was more of a problem there than I had been led to believe, let me put it that way. I had brought somebody down here with me, a gentleman who I had met in New England, who had been diabetic himself and quite overweight, and had cured himself and had lost 250 pounds and had become a coach for people who are diabetic to help them change their diets and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it helped a lot of people and had quite a track record of that. And I said, boy, I would love for you to help my mom, but she's a really difficult person. And he said, oh, I can help anybody. and it turned out that he wanted to come to Florida. So I had mentioned it to the person who was helping my mom on a regular basis, and said,
you mean like
"Look,
a caregiver,
and so I asked that she say that it was a friend of hers, and because my mom had a problem with me, you know, she was very suspicious of me by this point because of the dementia and other stuff.
Yeah.
So, but she trusted this caregiver. So I asked the caregiver to do that for me. And then in the end, the caregiver said, oh, it's a friend of Faye's. And that just backfired the whole thing. And the guy stayed with my mom for a couple of days. And then all of a sudden, one day, he moved a chair and didn't put it back. And she just read him the riot act and kicked him out.
Oh,
you know, it was just—it was horrible. So,
did you realize then that she needed help on a more permanent basis, or not yet?
Well, I knew that she needed more help, but this woman supposedly was a great help to her, and was available, you know, pretty much all the time. My mom had some different part-time people coming in, but they would all leave because she was so difficult to deal with. And finally, here was somebody who stayed no matter what, you know. And my mom fired her on a regular basis, but she would always come back. So
did your mother
remember her?
Did your mother remember that she was the same person? Oh, but is it
okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds
so,
like a movie.
You know,
you should make a movie out of your book.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, the caregiver would go outside, you know, when my mom so-called fired her, and then my mom would call her on her cell phone and say, oh, I'm sorry, come back, you know, and so she'd go, well, I don't know if I'm going to come back, you know, and she'd kind of play with her a little bit, and then eventually she'd come back in the house, and my mom would be all apologetic. Sweet. But
did she cook her own food? Forgive me for interrupting you, but did she cook her own food, or did they help her cook her food for her?
You know, in her day, my mom had been an awesome cook, and she also had a great love for restaurants and going out to eat. And where she had moved to, there was a clubhouse with a restaurant.
Yeah.
And there were a certain amount of meals that were included in your monthly dues or whatever.
Yeah.
So my mom not only took advantage of that, she took it to the next level, and she ate a lot of her meals over there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of the time she was going.
Are you the only child, or do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have a younger brother.
But he didn't get involved in helping your mom in any way?
No.
Okay.
He lives in Florida. He lived a little bit closer to her than I did, even.
Yeah.
But they were like oil and water.
Okay.
So And my brother was less able to deal with his own feelings and
yes.
separate himself from my mother's mishigas, as we say in Yiddish.
Which means craziness.
Yeah. Whereas to me, yeah. I had long time before kind of
yeah.
gone, okay, this is her. She's a person with her own issues, and that's
yeah.
separate from me. And, you know,
you were able to
my
disconnect.
Mom, yeah, but
you didn't
yeah,
take
I
it
just
personally.
Connected.
Yes, which is wonderful. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I took it personally, but
well,
but I was
so
more able to remind myself and separate back out from
yeah.
it. So, you know, whereas he wasn't really able to do that. So what happened over time was that she was getting worse and worse. And then
in what way?
Her,
what were you observing to conclude that she was getting worse?
Just the whole dementia thing was getting
yeah.
worse, and she, like, I had made a thing where I met with her once a week. We would go to eat, because
yeah.
as long as we were around food, and that was the focus of our time together,
yeah.
then it reduced the amount of stress, it reduced the amount of conversation, it
yeah.
reduced the potential for her to be volatile.
That's very interesting,
and,
isn't it? Yes, go ahead.
Uh-huh. And like uh-huh. if we did, there was a buffet brunch on Sundays, and I loved that because I could get up from the table.
Ah.
You know, and I could get her things or whatever, but I also could get up for myself, so I didn't have to spend as much focused time, you
but
know,
was
in conversation.
Very, very difficult, right? I mean, she was admitting
oh, yeah.
something that was very hard to take, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and when we were at the dining hall, not the dining
yeah.
hall, but the dining room at the clubhouse,
yeah.
the wait staff didn't like to wait on her because she was nasty to them.
Oh.
She was very well behaved when I was with her, so they liked it when I was there because, you know.
You calmed her down,
she was,
sure.
Yeah, and a lot of times she wouldn't eat any desserts when I was there, whereas
oh.
when I was not there, she would eat the desserts, and that would cause her...
Make her worse.
Blood sugar to spike and make her worse, right.
Oh, my God.
So, combination.
I'm sorry, that's why you call the book Oh, My God, right?
Well, you know,
yeah.
I came up with a title because I know that
yeah.
there's a lot of younger people whose parent, you know, they are the second family
yeah.
of their parents, of a, you know, and a lot of women have had their children a little bit older and stuff in their
yeah.
40s and whatnot. So when these kids are in their 20s and 30s, their
yeah.
parents are in their 70s and 60s. And
right.
now all of a sudden, there's this whole younger crowd that's going to have to be dealing with the stuff that we didn't have to deal with until we were in our 50s.
That's
so,
very interesting and very important, isn't it, for people to
mm-hmm.
hear? Which means no matter
yeah.
how old they are, they should look for symptoms or to see if there's a problem with a parent.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And
right.
I wanted the book to reach the younger crowd as well as the 50-somethings. I wanted
people,
it to reach the 20 and 30-somethings because they are going to be in a position to have to deal with it.
May I ask you, you said in your information to me, you said the book is scheduled to be out by the end of this year. Is that still the case?
Yes, so far so good.
Yeah, and can you tell people already where it can be gotten, or you don't know yet, or what should they do to get it?
Well, you can advance order right now at the website omgmyparentsaregettingold.com.
Oh, okay, good.
There
good,
is
good,
a website
good.
For the book.
Yes.
You can also, if you're interested in helping support the book getting out into the world in a bigger way, you can make a bigger contribution.
Yes.
There's an opportunity to actually get the book at a discount on that website right now
yes.
as a contributor
yes.
and to get a lot of other great benefits, too. And the highest level benefits get... they get actually a consultation with me to talk about what's going on and see how I can bring my resources to them to help
yes.
What they're because dealing with.
We do have to go to a break now, but I'd like you to talk about, you know, what you actually did. Again, why was it a whirlwind? And we'll be back in just a little while, everybody. We're together with Faye LeBeau, who is a coach and a publisher and the president of her company and an author and has gotten an award also writing for magazines and helping people get the book, whatever they have in them, out into the open and publicized correctly. We'll see you in about a minute or so. Thank you.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlike. I'm a retired judge, and I'm glad to be on BBSRadio.com Station 1 on alternate Saturday, and my website, where you can also get my book, Diary of a Slapper of Faith in Action, is an e-book. The website is www.90210holocaust.com. And I also will do counseling, whether spiritually or general legal questions such as unemployment, divorce, other questions with which so many people are faced today. And the way to contact me for that would be at my email, which is eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J-U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing you, and rather from you, and to be able to be of help. Thank you.
BBSRadio.com. It's not mainstream. It could be here. Information and knowledge bring humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
Hello again, everybody. This is Judge Eve, and with me today is our wonderful guest, Faye Laveau, who has really undergone some situation with her mother anyway, and so many of us do, and I relate to that because I had to be patient with my mother, too, especially after my dad was killed. So it's terrible, just terrible. What I need to just say very quickly, Faye will tell us who the advisor she worked with and who gave her suggestions and to put information in her book. But I say to you, excuse me, don't trust people just because they are doctors or lawyers, because I've been subject to such fraud and such misgivings and deception that I never believed in my life could happen in America. But Faye, go ahead, please. You were saying how you wanted to reach the younger people for that. And how did you know that you had to deal with your mother's situation?
Well, it just became really apparent that there was a big problem going on. And she, as I was saying earlier, she had a caregiver, and my mom's brother passed away. This is really where things started to shift dramatically.
Did she know? She understand that he was passed?
I found out first. They called me and let me know, and sent me some materials and everything from the funeral and stuff. And so my mom had a counseling appointment. So I went to the appointment. I called the counselor. I let him know that what had happened, and I said I'd really like to come so that I can be there and tell her with you so that she has some support, because she was close to her brother. He was her older brother,
Was she American born? Was your family American born?
Here.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead, please.
I went there, and she was really out of it that day, and was uncharacteristically out of it, okay?
Did she know who you were?
I knew something was, but she was just, what I found out later was she was very close to a diabetic coma.
The
counselor who she met with knew something was wrong, too, but we didn't know what. And we both assumed that the caregiver was going to take care of it because the caregiver knew what was going on. because she had always said that she was a nurse's aide and that she was in nursing school and all this kind of stuff, none of which was true.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, my mom had a doctor's appointment the next day. And
yeah.
when she went to the doctor, he clearly saw that there was something very wrong. Because she last time she was there, she had read him the Riot Act, and it wouldn't have surprised me if he had fired her as a patient, you know. So he knew something was totally
yeah.
wrong.
And she was just firing everybody in her path, wasn't she?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So she clearly there was something wrong because she was so out of it, and he said. Right now, he said, starting right now, I want round-the-clock care. I want her sugar levels monitored. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to, change
yeah.
her insulin and all this kind of stuff. Because her endocrinologist was really very lame. And I had been, some months before, I went with her to the appointment to the endocrinologist. And the woman had looked at the little tester thing and it keeps a record of what the sugar levels were. So the woman looks at the sugar level and she goes, oh, well, they're a little high. We're going to have to adjust your insulin. And I said, what
yes.
about what she's eating?
Oh, yes.
And the endocrinologist said, oh, well, we can send her to a dietitian or something. And
my
mom goes, I've been to a dietitian. I know what to eat. And,
yes.
and I just was like, I was totally blown away because how can you just adjust insulin levels and
yes.
not take into account what she's eating.
And
so,
to consider her
circumstance. I mean, it seems like it's part,
right?
yeah, it's part of the whole picture.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like, forget it. So that those months later when this was happening and
yeah.
the doctor finally took control, they changed the type of insulin that she had and, they did all these different things and eventually they got her stabilized. But it took about 3 or 4 weeks she was really coherent again, and at that point, I had an opportunity. Go ahead.
Was she confused during that whole period of time, the 3-4 weeks, but then got better after the insulin was corrected?
She was very confused, but she
yeah.
also was very like, oh well, I guess it's I'm just not doing too well. And I said,
really?
Well, Mom, how about if we move you to assisted living now? And I almost
yeah.
got her to say yes.
Yeah.
And I should have just jumped on it right then.
But,
and
people don't like to lose their independence. That's the problem. Let me also just very quickly say if people want to call in, they may call in at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. But see, if you had done it and she really didn't want to be, she'd be miserable because I know with my mother, she just couldn't go to a convalescent home. She didn't, forgive me, she didn't want to look at these these old
mm-hmm.
people. So, I think you did the right thing not to jump on it. But what happened then? Did you start knowing then that you need to take care of her more seriously, or what happened?
Well, the doctor had also said she's going to have round-the-clock care starting immediately. So, and I had long felt that she needed round-the-clock care because she was falling out of bed at night, and then she was calling this caregiver at home, and the caregiver would leave her little children and come and take care of my mother. And, you could call it a heroic move or you could just, whatever. But there were
yeah.
things that just weren't quite right. So this caregiver organized round-the-clock care for my mom. Now,
yeah.
once again, it was like, okay, well, my mom had also made her health care surrogate.
Let me ask something, if I may. It's information I got for Aging with Dignity. It's a Catholic charitable organization, I think, in Florida. And they have a list or information about 5 wishes, what people should consider. Are you familiar with
mm-hmm.
that, eh?
Oh, yes. And most organizations have the 5 wishes. It's available
yes.
across the country and on many different sites on the Internet.
Yes.
You can Google 5 wishes, and
yes.
you can easily find it. It's a downloadable document, or you can ask for someone to Jamil at GU. A lot of work.
Because this way the person can designate, you know, what they want to be done with their health and their caretakers and, you know, everything else, which is always a good idea to prepare in advance. So go ahead. Mm-hmm. By the way, did your mother have the money to pay for the 24-hour care?
Yes, she did.
Oh, good. Okay, because that's another consideration for people. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, part of the problem, too, was that I really didn't know what my mother's financial situation was, and she refused to tell me or let me know what was going on. Okay?
Yes.
So now here she had been pretty much incapacitated and not
yes.
able to do anything. Now, how the bills got paid during that period, I don't know. I think she was still working with the caregiver.
Yeah.
The caregiver was writing out the checks, and my mom was signing them, sort of, you know, with a bad signature.
Yeah.
And so some of that was going on.
Yeah.
But
that's why we have to watch it, like, with the pop's eyes, don't we? Right? Especially
when
yeah.
Yeah. And my mother had given a credit card to that to the caregiver to purchase things for my mom,
no.
like to go to the store and get her food
yeah.
or to get medicine or to get, you know, other supplies that she needed at home and stuff like that. So she was, you know, doing some of those kinds of things. And like
yes.
I said, she had made this caregiver her healthcare surrogate.
Oh,
we all thought
God.
She was in nursing school, so I figured, okay, fine. She's
yeah.
more qualified than me anyway,
right.
you know. And I didn't have to worry about all the caregivers and everything, so I just let it go, and I didn't think much of it.
Exactly.
And it wasn't until later that I realized what a mistake that was.
We found
out later that the caregiver was using my mother's credit cards to the tune of over $30,000. We found out that she was skimming off the top of everybody's pay.
And see, that's what people need to know. There's so much corruption that way, and this is what my brother and sister did to my mother. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
They were stealing
from
her. Yes, go ahead, please.
So, mm-hmm. but I didn't find out any of this stuff until much later.
Exactly.
Much later.
Yeah, so you couldn't stop it. You didn't know there was anything to stop.
I didn't know
mm-hmm.
what was going on, and I didn't
yeah.
recognize. I didn't know the signs. And also I was stressed out in my own life. I was
yeah.
in the middle of leaving a relationship, and
and I
had really no support in that relationship, which was part of why I needed to leave it. And I was looking for a place to live. And so then I finally, at some point, during the whole thing, my mom had fallen, and it was
mm-hmm.
about a month after she had she was finally pretty much okay again with the diabetes and everything. Her sugar levels had been pretty much stabilized. She
yes.
fell and she broke her arm. So now she had to go back to the hospital, and they had to do surgery on her arm, and then they were going to do physical therapy and stuff, and we had to decide, okay, do we want her to have physical therapy at home, or do we want to put her in a rehab place? And we decided to go with the rehab place because we figured, okay, she'll have physical therapy every day,
and
as
they'll
opposed
watch her
to
more,
a couple times
right?
a week at home, right?
Yeah.
So she
right.
thought, well, that would be probably a better choice. Well, when she got there, you know, one of the biggest problems is that one facility doesn't get all the records of the next facility, and all the doctor's records don't transfer. And so when somebody's diabetic, they have their general protocol that they do. So they never bothered to look at my mom's records and to see what she actually needed in terms of insulin.
No.
So now her blood sugar levels were spiking. So her temper was off the charts again. And she bit a nurse, and she punched a nurse, and, and so no one wanted to work with her, and they all hated her. And one day they left her out in the hallway in a wheelchair in her own excrement. Another day she was, they were trying to put her back into the bed, and who knows what they were doing or how they were doing it, but there was some sort of incompetence going on and certainly a non-caring attitude. And the person dropped my mother and broke her arm again.
Oh, damaged the same arm?
It was done. And the same arm broke it again in the same spot and broke another part, too.
Oh,
so she had to go back to the hospital for surgery 3 days after she had come out. And,
oh my God.
You know, if I had had the presence of mind, I would have sued the heck out of that facility.
Yes.
But I was so stressed at the time, I just wanted my mom to be taken care of. So,
and you know,
so
Faye,
back to surgery, this time she came home.
But isn't that what the situation is? You know, when we're young, our parents take care of us. Then we become adults,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we think mm-hmm. we have our lives, and now our parents become like our children. And it's very mm-hmm. you're really dealing with two ways of life at that point, which is what
mm-hmm.
you were doing. Very, very different.
Right. But that caregiver was still very involved. And I only heard about stuff, like, after it happened.
Yeah.
So I didn't know my mom had broken her arm and was in the hospital until she called me and told me. And that was after she had already been there and had surgery.
The second time? After she had the second surgery?
No, that was the first time. And then the second time, too. She was back in the hospital.
God.
Well, now I heard, okay, she's back in the hospital. She has to have surgery again.
Yeah.
And so this time we said, okay, she's going to come home.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to risk another situation like that.
Yeah.
And we knew what her insulin was.
But you see, what
she was
showing us
stuff.
Is what happens in so many such alleged assisted living places. They really,
mm-hmm.
really don't pay attention to the elderly. That's the problem. And really
mm-hmm.
needs to be exposed. Because, go ahead, tell me a little more, and then I want to find out, you know, who your advisors were, you know, who put, you know, gave you the answers for your book. But go ahead, please. So what happened?
Yes. Sure. So then we had her come home. So now she was bedridden because the doctor wanted her lightly sedated.
Yes.
So
yes.
she wouldn't be up walking around and risk breaking the arm again because he had already fixed it twice.
Mm-hmm.
It was... I didn't know that what that was going to mean was that my mother would be bedridden for the rest of her life. Caregivers were not properly exercising her arms and her legs.
Oh.
She had a stroke during this time. So now she's
how long a time did all of this take place? Did you say 2 years that all of this was taking place?
Well, most of this stuff happened within a 6-month period.
Yeah.
When she had the stroke, then of course back in the hospital, she was now she couldn't swallow, so they had a feeding tube. They ended up putting a peg in her stomach and a feeding tube, and you know, which was a decision that I had to make because you know I had to talk to my brother and my daughters and decide, you know, are we going to do this? I had, you know, talked to a bunch of people and find out about it, and you know. So many, and she couldn't talk anymore now because of the stroke, and you know, so there were all these things. But now she's completely dependent, and we have still the same caregiver. And it wasn't until much later that I realized that there may have been abuse, there may have been neglect, there, you know, may have been all these other things going on that I didn't know about because there were all these other people taking care of my mom that I didn't know about either.
And you trusted them,
and,
you know, right? Whatever was happening.
I trusted the one caregiver that everything was fine, and then there was a secondary caregiver who was there a lot, who I had got to know, and I was looking for a place to live, and I finally decided my mom had a second room. Now she was completely bedridden at the other end of the condo, and that if I stayed there, she would never even know I was living there. So that was my plan, was to move in, and then I would get a handle on what was going on. Well, I happened to mention it to the caregiver because I had stupidly been telling her when I was coming over and all that kind of stuff, which you should never do. You should just pop in unannounced so that people don't know that you're coming, and can
cover
catch them if they're doing something wrong.
Right, cover it up
so
everything seems okay for you. Yeah.
She was able to cover up everything, so she was always the one there when I came. And I didn't know about all these other people. So I had planned to move in, and I had brought a friend. I was coming there one particular day with a friend of mine to take a look at the space to figure out how, because I was running a business. I didn't have the publishing company yet, but I was full-time book editor and writer and everything. And so I needed to be able to have space to set up my desk and everything, and then make sure the caregivers were going to be comfortable in their space so that, because there were caregivers there 24/7.
Yes.
And I got a phone call that morning from a cousin of mine from Boston who said, oh, I'm down at your mom's. And I said, oh, I thought you were going to call me when you came in so I could pick you up at the airport. Oh, well, you know, I just had some time and I popped down. Now, this is not a woman who would pop down for anything, okay?
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
I knew something was up.
Can we hold this? Because we need to take another short break for an ad.
Oh, sure.
And then we'll come right back. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I need to hear what happened because we're seeing repetition of that over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there, Doug?
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlight. I'm a retired judge. I'm so happy to have the show on BBSRadio.com, Station 1, on alternate Saturdays. My website is www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murders in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister, and the theft of their millions, but with the help of corrupt doctors, lawyers, and judges, and taking place on a huge scale in our country. Also, I am a prophet, a seer, a healer, a seeing to the body, the past, the future, and would be able to help with counseling. To contact me for that would be at my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J U, D like David, G for George, E for elephant, E for elephant, V for victory, E for elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Hello again, everybody. This is Judge Eve with my guest, Faye LeVeaux, who's written a book, Oh My God, My Parents Are Getting Old, and we all need to be aware of what she's talking about because it's happening on a huge scale. So go ahead, please, Faye. You say a cousin came and she was calling you from your mother's place, right?
Yeah, and like I was saying, she was not the kind of person to just drop everything and do something at the spur of a moment. She was a planner in her mid to upper 60s, and, you know, it just wasn't her style. So I knew something was up, and then she said to me, oh, and by the way, I've changed the locks, and you're not moving into your mother's place over my dead body.
Oh, my God. You see? Oh, my
God. And I was
God.
Like, what? So this caregiver had been filling her with all kinds of lies
about
me, saying that I was going to take my mother's money and I was going to do all this stuff. So, you know, and of course none of it was true, but this caregiver didn't know me that well. So, my cousin didn't know me that well. I mean, I hadn't seen her for a long time and stuff. So when I got there in that afternoon, I told my friend what was going on. She said, would you still like me to go with you? And I said, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So she came with me, and I had a conversation with my cousin, and some of the caregivers were there, and there was this big meeting with me
caregivers. How did the caregiver know to get in touch with the cousin, or was the cousin calling
me? My mother had told her everything about everybody. This caregiver knew who my mother was closest to. She knew all my mother's friends. She had all the phone numbers. She had everything. Okay, she had all the keys to my mother's kingdom. She had every password and passcode and everything. Okay?
Did you report her
to
the police?
To be
by
my
the
mom
way, did you file charges against her?
Oh yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
In the end, I mean, it was a criminal case. She was arrested, but way after the fact. Okay.
Yes.
At this
right.
time, I didn't know. At this time, I still thought this woman was like on the up and up. I don't know how I could have thought that because my cousin never could have had the authority to change locks or do anything without that caregiver helping her.
Yeah.
So,
thank God.
That was the situation, and I was just. I didn't know. My head was spinning. I didn't know what I was going to do at that point.
Right.
Then, fortunately, I did find another place to go. But what it did was it prolonged, of course, the damage that caregiver was doing. And one of the other caregivers came to me. We had a clandestine meeting away from the property where she said, look, you've got to pull your mother's credit report. She said, and you've got to come randomly. And you really
Very
should
good.
Stay over or come late at night because this caregiver is having late-night visitors in the spare bedroom, which is why she doesn't want you there.
Oh, my goodness. This is what people need to hear. That's why you have to check everything on top of every situation.
Yep. And this was a woman who was married with children. Okay.
Oh,
now, her husband
God.
Was, you know, on a cruise ship sometimes, so he wasn't always around, but whatever. You know,
yeah.
She was married with children, and she was messing around in my mother's spare bedroom.
Oh, and a thief. And a thief. And a really.
And a thief.
And who knows
yes.
what he gave to your mother, because that's what I've seen with my brother and sister. They give him medication
then,
that they don't need, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then this whistleblower also came and
Good.
Said that that caregiver had been convicted of a felony for abusing an elder person, stealing their money, and was on probation right now.
Oh,
and the money
God.
That she was stealing from my mother was going to pay the other family that she had stolen from.
Oh, my God. Did anybody do a background check on her before she came to work for your mother?
No. I didn't know anything about it because my mom had brought her into the picture before I had moved down here. So,
and you really felt you had more authority,
right? I didn't know anything about anything, and I believed her.
Yeah.
Everybody believed her. My mother believed her.
Yeah.
First thing I did was I rerouted the mail to my address. Then the caregiver had been picking up supplies. So now I said, I will now pick up all the supplies. I want all the credit cards. I pulled all the credit cards out of my mother's wallet, and I took, you know, whatever the caregiver also handed me, but it turned out that she had other credit cards that I didn't know about yet.
Oh, my goodness.
And there were bills that were going to the caregiver's house so I wouldn't see. And then she also created recurring payments for another one of the credit cards that she was using so that bill would just be paid automatically and I would never see it. So,
Oh, my God.
There was all of this different stuff that was going on. Now, I found all this out over, a period of 5 or 6 months from this point forward. And needless to say, it was clear that I was going to need to fire her and fire most of the other people. I kept the whistleblower. I had to find other caregivers and interview them and did it like it's supposed to be done, people who have their licenses and all that. But I had to fire this woman very strategically because she had access to everything.
So I went in and
I changed, first off, I changed all the passwords to my mother's bank accounts and all that
sort of stuff.
Eventually I was able to
How were you able to do that? Did your mother ever give you a power of attorney or designate you? Because you said she made the other woman her health care, authority. How were you able to?
Well, my mother had made my brother, my older daughter, and myself successor trustees of her trust.
Okay.
So, and then there had been also a power of attorney with our names on it. So now I didn't know about the trust. That was the other thing is I kept trying to find out how to access the money, and the caregiver was withholding the information.
Wow.
She knew where the trust was. She knew that the trust was in existence.
So when
I contacted the investment company that held my mother's funds, somebody there told me that there was a trust, and I said, well, can you send me a copy of it? My mother's, she had a stroke, she can't talk, she can't move, she can't do anything, and people need to be paid and so on and so forth, and they wouldn't give me a copy of it. And I called the attorney who created it with my mom, and she couldn't give me a copy of it, she said. And I had questioned my mother's competence when I got the change in healthcare surrogacy, and of course,
which you were not advised of either, right? You were not advised of it at the time.
I was apprised of that, but I was never apprised that I was the successor trustee on my mom's trust.
Yeah.
And, and those kinds of things need to be disclosed because otherwise, how does anybody know what they're supposed to do?
But the attorneys as well. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say attorneys have been participating in these kind of things, and they have to be called forth because it's really not only unethical but probably also illegal, depending what state you're in. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, so it took a while to be able to get all the the documentation that I needed. And the thing that really pushed the envelope with that caregiver and the withholding of the documents was that we were continuing to write checks to pay people off of my mother's investment account without having a running total. We had no idea how much, what the balance was in her account, and no way to find out. So when the checks bounced, you know, the caregiver, all of her checks bounced because her check bounced.
Wow.
So, and then, you know, I still thought it was, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I thought it was our fault, and it wasn't. You know, it was her fault, because if she had given me the information, that never would have happened. We would have been able to access all the accounts. So when she actually lied and said that she was getting the documents from Boston, and they weren't in Boston. They were in my mother's file cabinet, for goodness sake, you know?
God. So what you're telling people, because we only have a few minutes, you know, I'd like you to share with people what they should look for, excuse me, and who are the people who contributed to your book, you know, why your book would be so helpful for them.
Okay. Well, I have over 50 professionals who've written chapters in this book, and as well as over 60 family caregivers who've shared their lessons, and then my story is woven throughout, and there's a huge resource section in the back, and the book will be fully indexed. So it's very user-friendly. It's the book I wish I had. We've covered every subject that you can think of, from all the different financial things for planning and for taking care of different financial issues, looking for different types of housing, what is independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing care, how do you choose a home care person.
Have you considered contacting different elder group helpers and let them know about your book? Because I think it's awesome and very much needed. Have you done that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Some, yes. And we're working on doing more of that. I plan on doing a speaking and media tour as the book is ready to come out.
Good.
And we're looking at getting in touch with major corporations to encourage them to purchase the book for their employees. Because one of the things that we've discovered in the research is that it's affecting the bottom line of a lot of corporations, because there's so many people. There's actually almost 50 million people who are caring for aging family members right now.
You're kidding.
And a lot of those people, and a lot of those people are employees, and it's distracting from their work because they're absent, they're stressed, they're getting sick because they're stressed, they're traveling a lot, they're quitting their jobs and moving elsewhere. You know, they spend so much time caring for family members that they can't keep the job. People who own their own businesses, like myself, I mean, I lost 2 years of my business because I was running around trying to figure out what to do, you know, in all these situations. And, you know, when you have never experienced it before, it comes as a total surprise. You're hit blindsided. It's like running around in a hurricane with a paper bag over your head and, you know, with no way out. And we're all very intelligent people. I'm so resourceful. I can get anything done. You know, I'm such a doer. But when it came to this, I was just absolutely retarded.
You had no information. You didn't know what to look for, what to think about. That's the problem.
And exactly, you know, So this book, it talks about all the different types of elder abuse, so you know what to look for, you know how to deal with it, you know who to report it to. You know, it's like if you suspect anything is wrong, document it. Write it down. Write down what you think. Look for clues. And, you know, even if it's so minor, look for clues, because those clues come together. And I tell you what, if I had been able to put two and two together much earlier on, it would have been a different scene for my mother.
Exactly. And by the way, you know, Florida is one of the states that has elder abuse laws. Did you know that? Not every state has them. And in fact, my friend Mary McKenzie, who lived in Fort Lauderdale, she's the one who told me about it, you know, that I should check into it. So what you've done, I'm so sorry you went through it, but as you say, you're using it for good to help others. So please go ahead, tell everybody the name of the book again and where they'll be able to get it.
The name of the book is OMG, My Parents Are Getting Old. The website for the book is the title of the book, OMG, My Parents Are Getting Old.com. You'll be able to pre-order the book right there, right now. You can become a bigger contributor and even get a private session with me to talk about what's happening in your family and see
what emailing you, how do people get in touch with you? How will they know? In the book, there's information about that?
Yeah, you can reach me at publisher@launchpadpublishing.com.
Great. Okay. And I want to say, because we do have to go, I thank you so much, Faye. You have no idea, because as you talk, it's like you're pulling each string of my heart because of the way I found about it by accident. You know, years after my beautiful sister killed my dad, and, you know, I thought he was sick, you know, not being killed. And then so many years later, when she called me up, she says, I'm going to put Mom in a convalescent home. I'm going to sell the condo. It's mine. I said, no, you will not. And that's when I started investigating and found out everything. But thank you, thank you so much, Faye LeBeau, an author, a coach. She can help you get a book out of your head and get it to be a book and to market it for you. So those are her other services that she does. And anybody, if you have any questions, please email her. And we thank you all for being here today. And this, the outgoing song is We Brought You Peace. Haveinu Shalom Alechem. And I bring peace
thank
to you,
you.
Faye.
Thank you, Eve. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share about this, share the story and the book with your listeners. I really appreciate that so much.
Thank you so much. And I'm sure I'll be in touch with you as well. Have a great day.
Okay, have a great day. You too.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Heavenu shalom alechem, Heavenu shalom alechem, Heavenu shalom alechem, Heavenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, Heavenu shalom alechem, Heavenu shalom alechem, Heavenu shalom alechem, Heavenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Heavenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.